minutes, and we're going to be talking about free to serve through love. Free to serve through love. When we take a look at the scripture that was assigned, for you, brethren, Galatians chapter 5, verses 13 through 15, for you, brethren, have been called to liberty, only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For all of the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. And so, first of all, we've been talking about being called to liberty. And we're free, and you guys have had several discussions or classes talking about this freedom that we have. In Galatians, or in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 and 4, in the New American Standard, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And so we are free. We have been given liberty because of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we've talked a little bit about some of the things that we are free to do. We are free to evangelize, right? We are freed from prejudice, as Brother Steve brought out. So we've been talking about those opportunities that we have to talk to whoever we come into contact with. We're free from the law. You know, one of the things that I was talking about while Brother Tracy was talking about is, you know, the ones under the old law, they couldn't go in and make sacrifices. It was to the priest. But what have we been made free? We're priests. We can serve. Isn't that wonderful? And so what we want to talk about for the next few minutes is being called to liberty, but through love, serve one another. So it's this application of we are free to serve one another. But it's our choice, right? All the things that we've talked about in the last few classes and things we'll talk about moving forward today, it's our choice whether we're to do it. But what Christ has done, what we want you to see, is we should want to do this. And we're free to do it because of what Jesus had done for us. I thought it was interesting. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, and then Paul uses seven words. I thought that was just kind of interesting, right? But what is the one word that Paul was talking about when he wrote to the churches of Galatia? What do you think? What do you think that one word is that encompasses everything? Sorry? Love. Love. So let's talk about love for just a few minutes until we get into really talking about serving. So this term love, 1 John chapter 4, John tells us that God is love. And then, of course, in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 13, through love, serve one another. And so this word love here, both in these, are used from the same Greek word, agape. And so what does agape mean? Or what does it involve? Well, it involves faithfulness, commitment, and an act of will. When we think about the love that God had for us, which we're going to talk about in just a moment, right? Did it have commitment? Did it have faithfulness? Did it have an act of will? It did. And so that's agape love. And so this is the type of love, when it goes back to through love, serve one another, this is the type of love that we're talking about today. It's not a phileo love. It's not because, man, I really love my wife, I'm going to serve her. No, it's because I want to serve her because of what Jesus did for me. That's the difference, right? And so that's the type of love that we're going to be talking about this morning. God illustrates his divinity, okay, being divine, deity, right, through divine love, service, and sacrifice. And so if we talk about in this illustration of God, right, divine love, how do we describe God? Maybe that's a better term, right? Description of God. Well, we can see that from a divine love standpoint, we're going to see that this love was foreordained, foretold, and fulfilled. All right? So foreordained. God chose us in him before the foundation of the world. When did God choose what he was going to do to those who follow him? When did he do that? What does it say? All right, before the foundation of the world. All right? So looking ahead, it was determined beforehand, foreordained, or predestined, that those who trust in Christ will obtain an inheritance according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. So his love was foreordained, predestined, right? His love was foretold. You know, to foretell something, foretold is the past tense of foretell, is to announce it before something happens. And we can go throughout these scriptures here. We're not going to go through them because we don't have time. But we go through Psalms and Jeremiah and Isaiah. We are going to turn over to Isaiah chapter 61. Isaiah chapter 61. But it talks about some of the things. In Psalm 22, talks about the prophecy of the crucifixion. Psalm 18, the chief cornerstone. Jeremiah 31, the new covenant. Isaiah 53, the suffering covenant. But I want to read Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 and 2. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. And he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn. What's he proclaiming? What are we talking about today? You see how he foretold it? He foretold the liberty that was going to come through Christ. And then in Galatians, we're told about this liberty that we have, and we're talking about it today. Peter, when he was telling about our heavenly inheritance, of the salvation the prophets had inquired and searched carefully, who prophesied, all right, foretelling of the grace that would come to you, searching what and what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, who was in them, was indicating when he was testified before the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. We see that God's love is foretold and it's fulfilled, right? Put into effect. Acts chapter 3, Peter in his sermon. Those things which God foretold by the mouth of the prophets that the Christ would suffer, he has fulfilled. He has fulfilled. And so we can see that God thought about it, God told us about it, and God did it. His divine love. What about divine service? Service can be defined as a contribution to the welfare of others, a helpful act. What did God do for us? Did God serve us? That was a question I had to really think about. But when you look at this, a contribution to the welfare of others, a helpful act, absolutely. God served us in his love, right? What did God give us? His only begotten Son. You know, when you go to a restaurant and they're serving you, they're giving you something, right? Well, in this context, how does God serve us? He gave us his Son. John 3:16, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. God gave us his Son. What did Jesus? Did Jesus serve us? What did he gave all, right? He totally surrendered to the Father's will. He didn't come down, he tells him, he didn't come down to do his own will. He came down to do the will of the Father. God gave all for the love of mankind. He gave his own Son. Jesus gave all for the love of mankind. He gave up his life. He left heaven. He came down for us and he died for us. He served us. Jesus revealed three characteristics of a servant heart. He surrendered. John 6:38. This is where he comes in and he states that he didn't come down. For I have not come down from heaven, for I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. He surrendered himself because of the love of the Father and because of the love of to us. He determined to serve. Turn over with me to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. And verse 42. This is when the disciples were fighting amongst themselves. Who's the greatest, right? Verse 42. You know that those who considered rulers over the Gentiles lorded over them, and their great ones exercised authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you. But whoever desires to become great among you, shall be your servant. And whoever of you desires to be first shall be the slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. Jesus was a servant. He wanted to serve. He demonstrated humility. What did he do in John chapter 13? Anybody remember? He washed the disciples' feet. Here the master. They're all gathered in this room. They finish supper, and then he gets up and he girds himself and he begins to wash his feet. And what was the purpose of that? An example. These things I've shown you, you need to do. And it's not just washing the feet. It's being willing to do whatever needs to be done. That's what Jesus was trying to tell them. I'm your master and I'm serving you. Don't you think you should serve others? He demonstrated humility. Divine sacrifice. God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You see how this illustration of God, divine love, divine service, divine sacrifice. Why would we be interested in looking at these things? Why would we be interested in looking how God shows how the illustration of God is? Maybe because it's something that we can look at and learn from. Make me a servant. We sing a song sometimes. Make me a servant just like your son. For he was a servant. Please make me one. Make me a servant. Do what you must do to make me a servant. Make me like you. When we sing that song, are we truly meaning what we say? When we're asking God to make us a servant, are we actually doing the work of a servant? We're made in the image of God. Don't ever forget that. Brother Steve brought about something when he was in the discussion this morning, and I wrote it down. We've never met a normal person, right? Because they all have a soul. But what about that soul? We're made in the image of God. Don't ever forget that. Don't ever forget the divine love, the divine service, the divine sacrifice. And we're made in his image. It's therefore important for man to try and emulate the characteristics of God in his life. What do you think Paul meant in Philippians when he talked about, let this mind be in you which was in Christ Jesus? The context there goes on to talks about Jesus' humility, right? But have you ever thought about that, man, I can have the mind of Christ? Well, that's what Paul says, right? He says, he doesn't say, man, I wish we could have it. No, he says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. We're made in God's image. We can be like God in certain ways. We're not divine. We're not deity. But what I want to share with you today is we can be a servant. We should want to be a servant. And we should want to serve. Jesus taught three ways how to serve. Let's turn over to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. Beginning in verse 24. If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. The world we live in, it's all about self-gratification, right? What's in it for me? I mean, you guys can look at the news going on right now with lots of different things. It's all about me, right? But if you're a Christian, it's not about you. If you've got this mind that Christ wants us to have, was it all about Christ? No. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What did Jesus come down to do? Remember? We just talked about it a few minutes ago. Came not to do my will, but my Father's will, right? Mind of Christ. We should be wanting to do the will of the Father. And in order to do that, we have to deny ourselves, right? We have to do some hard things. We have to take up our cross. Now, a lot of that has to do with the stuff that we have to deal with personally, right? Don't let the things of this world drag us down. Sometimes we got to pick up our cross. But first and foremost, we have to deny ourselves. And I think that's one of the hardest things from a Christian standpoint, living especially in this world, because actually this world is all I know. The society we live in today, that's all I know. I don't know what happened back in the first century other than what we read. But I know that there's a lot of challenges out there for you guys to conform to the world. And we're going to talk about that in just a moment, right? Conformity to the world. You have to deny yourself. I'm not going to do that. I am going to be transformed by the renewing of my mind, because I want to have the mind of Christ, and I want to be like Christ, and I want to serve like Christ. And we have to become a servant. So our hearts have to be conditioned. Our hearts have to change. This attitude that we have, that we want to generate, help generate, we need to have a cleansing of the heart, right? Our hearts need to be cleansed. In Psalm 51, David says, cleanse me of my iniquities. I don't need these iniquities. I don't need these sins in my life. I want to be created new. I want to be transformed by the renewing of my mind. I want to be capitulated. To cease resisting. Let God come into my life because of his divine love, his divine service, and his divine sacrifice. I need to be ready. Teach me your way, O Lord. Is my heart ready for that? I need to be courageous. There's going to be people out there laughing at you. What? You're going and doing that? Why are you doing that? What's the point of that? You're not doing that? We have to be courageous. We have to be able to stand up and say, I'm doing it because this is what my Father in heaven wants me to do. But we also need to be compassionate. All right? We need to have some empathy. Jesus was compassionate as he looked about on the flocks, right? And they were wandering about as sheep without a shepherd. And he showed compassion. When we deal with people, when we serve, when we have the opportunity to serve people, sometimes we need to have compassion for those people. And we need to have empathy for those people. You know what empathy is, right? How does that person feel? What would I feel like if I was in their position? You know, I tell my boys, or actually my children, because Sky's included, right? I try and treat older people the way that I would want to be treated if I was in that situation. You know, maybe something happens to my family and I don't have a family anymore, and I'm older and I become a little bit more dependent upon other people. Man, would I love to have a younger person come in and help me and have some empathy. You know, things like, I'm just going to be honest with you. We all got to go to the toilet, right? And sometimes people have trouble cleaning up after themselves. You know what? I've done that because I have empathy for those people. Because one day I may be there. And I want somebody to come in and help me the way that they need help. We need to have compassion and be willing to serve. When our attitude is under the control of Christ, our actions and speech will be filled with love, service, and sacrifice. Those illustrations of God, I'll be able to show those in my life if I change my mind, if I have that mind of Christ of wanting to serve my Father. So, practicing in God's presence. God's love is complete when he leads you to step out in faith, serving one another through love. Let's turn over to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. And verse 42. Whoever gives one of these little ones only a cup of cold water in my name of a disciple, assuredly I say to you, he shall by no means lose his reward. Some people, sometimes they say, I can't really do it. I don't know what I can do. Hold your hand up if you can get a cup of cold water. Josh, you can get a cup. Every one of you can serve. You see what Jesus said? A cup of cold water. You know, sometimes we just can't understand what a simple act will do for others. Because most of us have been in situations where we're not desiring a cup of cold water. In South Africa, we would have we would have Africans come up and ask for a cup of water because, you know, they're out walking and they walk because that's their only mode of transportation in life. And we would willingly give them, right? It's actually against the law not to give them water, but we won't go there. We would willingly give them water, right? So I would have some in and help us do some yard work or whatever. And we would, you know, some of these people, they don't have a lot of food. And so, you know, we'd give them double portion, man, for lunch, and then they would take half of it, and then they would save the rest for later. I've never had to deal with that. Sometimes we need to have empathy for people, and we need to be willing to serve them, okay? Matthew 25, when Jesus talks about those who have been acceptable. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. You know, sometimes it's just those things that people just need help sometimes. Now, I can't do it. I got too much to do in my life. I got to go to see the ball game on Saturday, so I'm not going to be able to go over and help this widow who needs help. Really? When I was naked, you clothed me. When I was hungry, you gave me food. When I was a stranger, you took me in. That's all about service, guys. It's just when an opportunity arises, be willing to serve. And it's not, this is one of the things I want to, it's a privilege. It shouldn't be a burden because of what God did for me. And if it's a burden, we really need to think about, have I had that cleansing in my mind? Do I really have the mind of Christ? Because we should look on it as it is a privilege. One of the young ladies asked if we needed some assistance while my wife was in hospital. And I replied, we're fine. It is a privilege and an honor to serve my wife. We need to have the attitude of wanting to serve. Don't you think that Jesus had that attitude when he was going to the cross? It is a privilege and an honor for me to die on this cross for those that I love. But sometimes it's just, man, it's all about me, right? Through love, serve one another. Serving orphans and widows, James chapter 1, verse 27. Whatever opportunities we have, and I'll show you just an opportunity we had when we were in South Africa here in just a moment. Serving our families. Proverbs 31, I didn't know if Tracy was going to be able to teach, so I've got some of the things in here that I was going to incorporate with some of the young ladies too. But if you talk about Proverbs 31, a virtuous wife, right? But in 1 Timothy 5:8, what happens if you don't take care of your household? What happens if you don't serve your household? It says you're worse than an infidel. We have to be willing to serve our families. We have to be willing to serve our church family, whatever capacity that is. Now, some people, we've all been given different talents, right? When I was Caleb's age, I could not get up and give a talk. Now, I'm not saying that I can do much better these days, but it's a little bit more comfortable for me, right? I just didn't think I had the ability. But the more I studied, the more I wanted to share, the opportunities that I had. And lo and behold, I'm up here standing talking to you guys today, right? I'm serving you today because I want to. Because I love you. Because you're my brothers. And I just want to share some of the thoughts from our Father about what we should do to serve. You know, a lot of times we may think about some of the things that we do. Oh, one other thing I wanted to go back to about serving. There's a lot of things to do in our worship to God. I'll just use leading singing. Not everybody can lead singing. Right, from a pitch standpoint, all things, all right. But there's something you can do. Remember, who raised their hand about getting a cup of cold water? I think every one of you did, right? Eventually. There's something you can do to help in our worship to God. Be willing to serve. Be willing to do what you can do, right? As you mature, hopefully you'll be wanting to do more. But even the young people, there's something that you can do, all right? Now, look at these. If talking about God's love and the love we have and everything, if you think about each one of these as being good deeds, right? There's a lot of people out in the world that do good deeds, right? But a lot of times, if we don't have the direction that we need, you know, all of a sudden it's, what happens to these good deeds? There's really no direction, is there? But if you think about God's love as the conduit for all of our good works, and we utilize that in our life, and all of a sudden there's control over these good deeds, guess what? Guess what? If the electricians, I'm not an electrician, I can't serve in that capacity. Nobody wants me to. But what if they just randomly ran wire? Do you think the lights would work? But they run this conduit, and so they know from the point of entry to this light, there has to be wire, and so they use a conduit to ensure that that gets there. All of these good works that we're doing, we got to do it through love. God's love is the conduit of every good work. The love of God through us is the conduit of every good work. Everything that you do needs to be done through love. Because everything that God did for me and for you, God did through love. Our service to each other should not be a burden, but a blessing. Had an opportunity when we traveled to South Africa. We went to camp, went to the mountains, and we were going to stay a few nights. And we started doing research, and there's a rural school there. And they invite you to go and teach. They want English-speaking people to come and teach. And so Tracy and Scott took 2 days, Caleb and I took 1 day, and we went over and we had an opportunity to interact with these young people, and we got to talk about Jesus in school. An opportunity to serve. We went to visit some friends on the right, the guy on the left, the crazy guy, red hair over there, he's our friend. We go visit them. They go, hey, we're going to go do this tomorrow. So we go, oh, we'll go with you. And so we help them deliver food to an orphanage. And this is unique about this picture. All that food there you see, we didn't buy that. They didn't buy it. A Muslim, their neighbor, bought it. But we had an opportunity to go and spend time with these orphans. And you could just see the excitement on their face of somebody coming in and just sitting down and talking to them. Is that something you guys can do? I can do it better. I'll be honest with you. I can do it better. But that's something we all can do. Because you see, we had empathy on them. I never had to deal with an orphanage. I had wonderful parents that loved me and provided for me. These guys are having it hard. And just a few minutes out of our time, I believe at least that day made a difference in these young people. And so we, you know, there's a lot of different things that we can do, but it should bring joy. It brings joy to me to be able to help people, to be able to serve. But it should exemplify joy. I think you guys have probably heard this if you've heard me talk here, right? What does joy mean? Well, it can mean Jesus first, yourself last, and others in between. All right? We give joy and we get joy. It's our choice. All right, we're going to just real, I'm not going to spend any time on this, but I do want you, Miss Tracy, spending some time with the young ladies back here. You guys, what's that bottom? The greatest example that a young lady can serve is teaching her children. Think about that now before you get married. When Tracy and I got married, one of the first things we discussed was, when we have kids, what are we going to do? And we decided then and there that she was going to stop working and she was going to stay with the kids. Now, everybody makes their own choice, and I'm not saying that our choice was better than anybody else's. But don't underestimate the service of a mother to your children. But we have great examples from the men. Biblical examples. Paul, a bondservant of Christ, physically abused as he did his service to God. Timothy did not seek his own, but served Paul in the gospel. Epaphroditus, a brother, fellow worker, a fellow soldier who ministered to Paul's needs. Tychicus, fellow servant of the Lord. Onesimus, profitable to Paul and Philemon. Articus, Marcus, Justus, fellow workers with Paul who proved to be a comfort to Paul in his time of need. Epaphras, bondservant of Christ. Luke, the beloved physician, serving people physically and spiritually, right? But who's the greatest example of a servant of all? It's our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. When Tracy and I were working on this topic together, and that's the reason she's here, because she... she's a servant. She wrote a poem, and I just want to share it with you guys. Following in his footsteps, it's talking about Jesus. Following in his footsteps, he could have. He could have chosen to stay in the glory and beauty of heaven. Instead, he chose to walk a lonely pathway here on earth. He could have chosen to baptize John, but he, the Son of God, chose to submit so that all righteousness may be fulfilled. He could have chosen 12 influential men to serve him. Instead, he chose a tax collector, fisherman, and a zealot. He could have chosen to ignore blind Bartimaeus' call for help, but instead he called for him. He could have chosen to rebuke the woman who touched his garment, but instead he stopped and said, "Who touched me?" He could have chosen not to touch a man riddled with leprosy. Instead, he reached out his hand and touched him. He could have been the first to cast a stone, as he is the Son of God. Yet he looked at the woman and said, "Go thy way and sin no more." He could have left Malchus maimed for life. Yet instead he chose to say, "Permit even this." And he touched his ear and healed him. He could have chosen in his pain and suffering to forget his duty as a son. But instead he looked at John and said, "Behold thy mother." He could have told the sinner on the cross, "I have no time for you." Yet instead he said, "Today you will be with me in paradise." He could have yelled for vengeance and sent 12 legions of angels. Yet instead he cried, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." He could have chosen to bow to the devil. Instead, our Savior willingly went to the cross so that I can be set free. Following in his footsteps, he died to set me free. Therefore, as his child, I follow in his footsteps. We are free to serve through love. Let us all continue to work on having the mind of Christ and a willingness to serve our brethren.